Take your Bible and turn to Proverbs chapter number 19. Proverbs chapter 19. Tonight is lesson number 39 on the subject of relationships. Proverbs chapter 19. The title tonight is going to surprise you just a little bit. It's called Your Relationship with Rebellious Parents. Your Relationship with Rebellious Parents. All the children and teenagers, in a special way, I want you to listen to me. Adults, I'm sure you'll listen in very carefully for sure. Your relationship with rebellious parents. Proverbs chapter 19, look at verse number 25. Now stand with me if you would. Proverbs 19, 25. The Bible says this, "Smite a scorner, and the simple will beware. And reprove one that hath understanding, and he will understand knowledge. He that wasteth his father, and chaseth away his mother, is a son that causeth shame, and bringeth reproach. Cease, my son, to hear the instruction that causeth to err from the words of knowledge. An ungodly witness scorneth judgment, and the mouth of the wicked devoureth iniquity. Judgments are prepared for scorners, and stripes for the back of fools." Again, all the children and all the teenagers, in a very special way, I want you to listen to me tonight. I want to talk to you about your behavior toward your parents. And if you'll listen, it'll be a kind of a unique approach, but I think it still will accomplish its purpose. And let's pray. Father, bless us tonight. Help everyone to grow because we've been at church. God, you know the lesson is extremely practical. But I really believe it will help our homes. I think it will help some young people. Please bless us, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a seat there. In this passage of Scripture, there's an awful lot of teaching here. I do want you to notice in verse number 26, it says, "He that wasteth his father and chaseth away his mother is a son that causeth shame and bringeth reproach." Young people, you should never want to bring reproach to mom and dad. You should not want to shame mom and dad. And there's a right and a wrong way to behave as a child. But, you know, we hear a lot of teaching in Christianity about how to deal. Okay, how many of you ever heard them? There's a phrase or a title that's been given to children that are 2 years of age. They say they go through a phase, and they call it the what? The terrible twos. So you know that you'll hear people talk about. I'll use the term rebellious, like a rebellious infant, if you will, or the terrible twos. You can find books about it. And then you're going to find books, and you're going to find teaching about rebellious children. How do you handle rebellious children? And then you're going to find books, and you're going to find writings and lessons about rebellious teenagers. Have you ever heard anyone teach about what do you do and how do you respond if the parents are being rebellious? That's what I'm going to tell you tonight. I'm going to tell you what you do if you know, parents, you say, well, parents are never rebellious. I beg to differ with you. I beg to differ with you about that. I do want to tell you something, young people. Rearing parents is very difficult. You know, you do indeed have your hands full, but you need to know something. Did you know that your parents go through stages just somewhat like you do? When children are growing up, they start at an infant stage, and that's back when you were in diapers. And then you went to into the child stage, if you will, and that's where you rode your tricycle everywhere. And then you go to the teen or the young adult stage, and that's where you pretty much know everything. But you go through stages. A child starts out as an infant, and they become a child, and you know, then we end up in the teenage years. You have to understand something. Parents go through stages too. They have to go through the parent of an infant stage. And then they go through the stage of being a parent to a child. And then they go through a stage which is the parent to a teenager or the parent to a young adult. And you have to understand that, you know, most of your parents, they had never done it before. you have children and they look, you know, when you're a parent, you're thinking, oh, kids, boy, they look like a lot of fun. And boy, this is going to be the berries. And then you get them and you're thinking, I'd like to give them back. I didn't realize it. You know, there's, you know, you get a car and you get an instruction manual. And if it's not working right, you take it back to the manufacturer and they'll fix it or get you a new one. You can't do that with kids. And young people, you have to understand, those of us that are parents, we've not done a lot of this before. You may think that we know everything about it. We're trying to learn too. We're doing the best that we know how. We're trying to help you the best that we know how. So you may find young people, when you look at mom and dad, you might think, you know, what's up with my mom and dad? They're going through some stages too. While you're busy trying to figure some things out, so are they. And may I say that for you teenagers, one of the hardest stages to be a parent is being the parent of a teenager. And you say, but why, preacher? Because you're a young adult now. You're not a little kid anymore. And it becomes very difficult when you're trying to instruct and help a young adult. It is a challenge. And remember, if you're the oldest child, your parents have never done this before. Now, some of you, you say, well, they experimented on me and then my little brothers and sisters, maybe they learned a little bit. But I got to tell you, everyone's a little different, too. There's so much to this thing. So I'm going to get into the lesson here in a moment, but I got to tell you a story. We had, at one point, we had four teenagers in our home when Mrs. Owens and I were rearing our kids. We had four teenagers in our home all at one time. My oldest son, he is named after me. He is Jeff Owens II. I remember I was sitting in my church office many years ago. I was sitting there, and my phone rang, and it was my oldest son. And he said, Dad, you have a moment? I said, sure. He said, Mom's having a rough day. I thought, this is odd. My teenage boy is calling me to tell me that Mom is having a rough day. And then he said this. He said, well, a little water spilled out on our laundry room floor. And that things have not gone her way ever since that water issue. He said, she cried for no reason. I'm thinking, cried for no reason? Then he said, and I discovered today, Dad, she hates my piranha. He had a piranha. And I'm thinking, huh? And then he got a brainstorm. He said, Dad, if you could, on the way home today, he said, would you stop and get me some flowers so I can give them to Mom? And if you'd pick up some of her favorite pop and her favorite chips, and then I want you to get her a coffee on the way home. And then the real miracle came. He said, and Dad, I'm going to pay for it. I thought, now I know there's something going on here. There's something going on. And he was so tender and compassionate, and so I did. When I was on my way home from work, I gathered all the stuff for him and went home, and I had it in the car, and I went in and I said, give me the money, and we made the exchange, and he gave it to her. Young people, and I'm going to come back to that story maybe a little later on, tell you a little bit more about it. You have to understand, when your parents are trying to raise you, they've been given that duty by God, and it can be a real challenge. But young people, I want to help you with something, and you have to understand something. You have to understand the only person that can help make your parents a success in their parenting is you. You can help make your parents a success. And I would love for you to be able to do that. Now, parents are not perfect. And this lesson's getting ready to take another turn here. But young people, I want you to understand it is your job to be a godly boy, godly girl. It's your job to be a godly teenage boy, a godly teenage girl. It's not your job to be the parent. It's your job to be your parent's child and to do it to the best of your ability. That's your part in this thing. Say, but wonder if my parents are contrary. Wonder if my parents are hard to get along with. Or let me put it this way. Wonder if my parents have some rebellion in them. Okay. Well, maybe they do. We all have our weaknesses. But I'm going to tell you, how to deal with rebellious parents. First of all, if your parents don't come to church, you try to figure out a way to get here anyway. You try to figure out a way to get here anyway. I believe that if you can get yourself in church, you ought to be in church. I didn't have the privilege that some of you have, and there are others here that would have grown up the way I did. At the beginning stages of my Christian life, my parents didn't go to church. And so here I was. I was in my middle teenage years, and my mom and dad, they were not going to church at that time, and I started going to church. I have to tell you, I went to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night, and my mom and dad didn't go to church. And I figured out a way to get myself there. When I became old enough, I drove myself. But I would have ridden the van. I would have ridden the bus. Or I called somebody and I said, I want to go to church. And so, hey, listen, if you say, how do you deal with when your parent doesn't come to church, when your parent's not interested in coming to church? You come anyway. You come anyway. And I think that's what you ought to do, is just come to church anyway. Secondly, if your parents ever make the mistake and cuss at you, you don't cuss back. That, you know, did you know that cursing is wrong? And you say, but if I hear my parents do it, you have to understand that doesn't make that right. That doesn't make it right. Just because you heard an adult use words that are wrong, that doesn't make those words right. So listen, if the Bible says, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. The Bible does not teach that your parents must be good Christians for you to be a good Christian. Young people, whether you're a child or a teenager, you're to be a good Christian no matter what your parents do. And I'm proud of some of you. There are some people, there's some young people in here. You come to church and your mom and dad don't come to church. And I'm very proud of you. You need to keep on doing that. That's a very good idea. You're doing the right thing. And there's some of you. Your mom and dad, they come to church all the time. Let me tell you something. If your mom and dad decides to stop going to church, you know what you need to do? You need to keep going to church. And try to go to church. It's the wise thing to do. And so I'm not trying to be funny, but if you look at it and you say, well, my parents, they're somewhat rebellious. I don't know that there may not be a better description. Everybody rebels some. And there are some that have rebelled against God and they don't go to church. So what does a child do? What does a teenager do if their parents are rebellious toward God about church attendance? That doesn't justify the child not going to church. If they can get there, they ought to get there. I wonder if the parent rebels and uses words that they should not use. What should the child do? Well, I don't think the child should use those words. I don't think they should repeat them. Thirdly, I think if your parents tend to lose their temper with you, you shouldn't lose your temper with them. You shouldn't lose your temper with them. Proverbs chapter 15, verse number 1, the Bible says, a soft answer turneth away wrath, and grievous words stir up anger. Look, young people, let me tell you something. If mom or dad lose their temper with you, and man, they're just throwing a fit and screaming and yelling, and they ask you a question, what I would do, I would very quietly and calmly just say, yes, ma'am. Yes, sir. You say, but pastor, is it right that they're cussing and they're yelling and they're screaming? Is it right? No, it's not right. But you're not the parent, and it's not your job to attend to that. You say, well, what's my job? You be good. You do right. You do right. And I'm going to promise you, that's what your parents prefer too. But I can go one better than that. That's what God wants. That's what God wants. You say, well, my mom and dad, they're rebellious toward the thing of church attendance. But that doesn't make it okay for you. Say, I wonder if my parents are rebellious against not cussing or the misuse of their words. That doesn't make it okay for you. Wonder if they're prone to temper. And young people, just so you all know, within every one of you is the ability to draw out of every one of us some temper. You say, why so? We told you 50,000 times to stop. We really did try to get your attention. A, and I might also say, the raising of the voice is not always bad. It's not always bad. The Bible even talks about the raising of the voice. The preacher, there are times he's supposed to raise his voice. Mom and Dad will raise their voice to get your attention. But I don't think it's right to cuss. I don't think it's right to lose your temper. Number four, young people, if your parents develop bad habits like smoking, drinking, let me tell you, or if they do it, I don't think you ought to. You know, they say in our society that if mom and dad do those bad things, then the kids are naturally going to do those bad things. That's not so. Say we're a product of our environment. You've read too much Sigmund Freud. You can be the product of Jesus Christ and have victory over those type things. I know people that have been reared in some pretty crummy atmospheres that are pretty decent, godly people. So look, if mom and dad are, they smoke or they drink or they do drugs and things that they shouldn't, I got to tell you something, young people. That doesn't make it okay for you. And then you shouldn't do it. Now, in a little while, you're going to hear me tell you, it's not your job to correct them. You say, what's my job? You just do the right thing. You do the right thing. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 20, verse number 1, wine is a mocker, strong drink is raging. Whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. The Bible teaches that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit of God or the Holy Ghost of God. And you're to guard your body and keep it healthy. So you don't look at your parents' weaknesses and then use them so that you can misbehave. You just do the right thing. And I'm going to tell every child, every teenager in here, if you'll listen to what I'm telling you right now, your relationship with your parents will be a better relationship. Nowhere in the Bible does God tell the child to administrate the parent. Nowhere in the Bible does the Bible tell the child to correct the parent. The child is to do what is right. And so, if they're rebellious about coming to church, you come to church anyway. If they're rebellious about how they use their words, if they cuss, that doesn't make it right for you to do. If they misuse their temper, you're not to misuse your temper. If they develop bad habits like smoking or drinking or drugs, you're not to get involved in that. You can still live right and you can still do right. And I don't think God says it's okay for you because your parents do it. I don't think he says that. I don't think that's what he teaches. Not only that, if your parents lie, it's not okay for you to lie. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. You know, when we lie, we are doing the thing that is the exact opposite of Jesus. Jesus is the truth. I will say to every parent here, children understand the difference between the truth and lies. They understand far better than what we realize. But if you say, well, I heard my mom lie, I heard my dad lie. I'll tell you what happens, teenager, in our minds. You know, I was a teenager just like you were. In our minds as a teenager, if mom or dad, we seen or heard them lie about something, we somehow put it in our brain that, well, if they can, I can. Who do they think they are telling me not to do it when they do it? Let me explain. Doesn't matter what they do. It matters what God said. And you'll be better off that way. You'll be better off realizing that if mom and dad do something that they shouldn't, that you ought to go ahead and do the right thing. And you ought to go ahead and tell the truth. And you ought to go ahead and be pure. And you ought to go ahead and control yourself. And you ought to go ahead and come to church. And young people, listen, I'm just trying to show you how you can have a good relationship with your Heavenly Father and how you can have a good relationship. Honestly, you'll have a better relationship with your mom and dad by behaving this way. And let's not use anybody else's weaknesses as excuse for ours. Hey, and parents, let me tell you, man, can we be a stumbling block to our kids. I am not for a moment justifying any of these rebellious misbehaviors. I'm trying to help a group of young people to rise up and say, I'm going to do right. We need to do right by principle, not because somebody else is doing right. Thank God for example. Thank God for the examples that live right around us. But look, did you know you can do right if nobody else is being an example of it? You can do it. You can do it because you're in submission to God. So, if they don't come to church, you come without them. If they cuss, you don't cuss back. If they have temper issues, you learn to control your temper and don't you show temper toward them. If they develop bad habits, whether it's cigarettes or drugs or alcohol, stay away from it. If you catch them in a lie, don't you lie back. Let's say they misuse the internet or misuse the television. Let's say that you find that they're watching or listening to things that are bad. And so you parents know, you better stop and realize, dads and moms, if you're going on the internet and you're looking at things that are vile, and I'm not going to go into all of it that's there. I think you're smart enough to know what I'm talking about. In this day and age, your kids will figure it out, especially if they're on that computer. But let me say to every child and every teenager in here, if mom and dad ever watch anything on the internet or watch anything on television that they should not watch, you just keep your mind pure and you keep your mind, avoid it. Avoid it. You don't need to go there. You don't need to seek after it. You say, well, what should I do? Hey, there's some of you young people, mom and dad don't come to church. And you know something? I'd love to see your mom and dad come to church someday. I want to help them. I'm their friend. I'm not trying to be mean to moms and dads. I'm really not. I'm trying to help young people to know how to live just in case a mom or a dad are not living right. But look, if you were glancing at a computer and something came on that your mom or your dad was looking at and you're thinking, oh, goodness, I shouldn't be looking that. Dismiss yourself. Go to your room. Get your Bible out. Read your Bible. Go get some music CD that we gave you here at the church. And go listen to it. Go do your homework. Bummer, right? But go do your homework. But don't sit there and find yourself entertained with things that are not good for you to look at. And so what am I saying? I would never tell you moms and dads are 100% right all the time. I'm not saying that. But I'm telling you, I don't think you ought to be rebelling against God. And I'm telling you, I don't think you ought to be rebelling against mom and dad. You just keep you right. You keep your heart right. You keep your relationship with God right. Let me say this also. Let's say your parents dropped out of school. They quit and they didn't graduate. I've never met a parent that dropped out of school that didn't graduate, that quit, that they're glad. I never met that, young people. So you say, well, I know my grandma or my grandpa, they didn't finish school, or my mom or my dad, they didn't finish school. Let me tell you something, young people. You need to finish school anyway. You need to finish school anyway. The Bible's very clear on the concept of finishing what we start and following through. And so you say, but mom did or dad did, but mom and dad, most of them, if they had it to do over again, they would go back to school and they would finish. And they would finish what they started and they would do better and they would work at it. But listen, moms and dads want us to exceed and excel what they did. You say, well, my parents don't care. Your Heavenly Father does. Your Heavenly Father does. And I just recommend to everybody that you graduate. If you start something, let's finish it. But not only that, could I recommend to you young people, if you be fair with the church, with your parents. You know, let's say that something in a Sunday school happens, something in a Sunday school class happens that you just know it shouldn't, and somebody misbehaved and they were mean or bad. I don't mind you telling your mom and dad that, but would you do us a favor? Would you tell your mom and dad all the good things that happened? Some people just have this tendency to just want to tell everybody everything bad that happened. There's somebody in the church that can do something bad, and the only time we ever hear from you is that one, because you want to tell us about that one thing that somebody did that was bad. Sure haven't been knocking our door down, telling us all the good things. And young people, if you're not careful, you'll give your mom and dad the impression that your Sunday school class is just bad all the time, and that's not the case. You just report the bad, but you never report the good. And you need to be careful that you don't create a critical atmosphere and critical relationship with your parents. Let them see that you see the good as well. So if your parents don't come to church, you try to get yourself here and try to figure it out. If your parents cuss, don't you use those words, and especially not at them. If they tend to lose their tempers, don't you be that way. You learn to control your temper. Having a temper is important. It's knowing how to use it and when to use it. It was given to you for a reason. It's when we lose it that it becomes bad. We've all got to learn how to control it. If your parents develop bad habits, you make sure you don't justify developing those habits in your life. If they lie to you or you've seen them lie, that doesn't justify you lying or you lying to them. If they watch bad things on the internet, or if they watch bad things on television, that doesn't make it right for you. If they quit school, if they gave up on their education, don't you do that. You need to finish. It will be a compliment to them. It's the best thing for you. Hey, listen, you should never spank your parents. You should never spank them. You say, Pastor, what are you talking about? Young people, look at me. You should never hit your mother. And you should never hit your father. I need to give you a warning. God could put you in the grave if you do that. The Bible says that by honoring your father and mother, your days may be long upon the land. I believe that God extends the life of a young person that respects mom and dad. And so don't ever hit your mom. Don't ever hit your dad. And you know what happens? You begin to grow up, and one day you're a teenager, and you look at your mom, and you say, I'm as big as my mom. That may be so, but that would never give you the right to grab your mom or hit your mom or hurt your mom. And you will probably find out pretty quickly dad will take care of it, and that may be why you go to the grave early anyway. But you shouldn't hit them. I was in high school, and there's a kid by the name of Ronnie. And one weekend, I just heard of this big fiasco about Ronnie and his mom and dad, and I couldn't believe it. Ronnie ended up getting thrown in the juvenile section of our jail in town because he'd actually beat his mom and dad up. And I got to tell you, I wasn't real spiritual at that time. But I was virtually appalled. I couldn't imagine that. And so young people, again, take a warning from your pastor. You say, well, my mom and dad have been rebellious. Okay, but you can't spank them. You can't hit them. You say, well, who will correct my mom and dad? God will. God will. He is their heavenly father. But if you want to keep your relationship good with mom and dad, that you have to behave right. You say, but wonder if I feel like they lied to me, or wonder if I feel like I'm the one that got cheated. Wonder if you say, well, Pastor, I feel like my mom or my dad, I'm the one that got shortchanged. God will take care of that. You just be a good Christian. You obey. You do what's right. You act right. You keep your attitude right. And I know sometimes it'll be hard. I was there. I've been through it. But you're to keep you right with God. And you'll keep a better relationship in your life with your parents that way. Let me say this. The next thing I have written down here is don't correct them. Don't correct them. It's not going to do you any good to tell your mom and dad if they've been bad. Let's say your dad loses his temper and he cusses at you. I would not recommend at that point, teenager, that you start quoting Psalm 19:14 to your dad at that moment. You may intensify the situation. It's not your job to correct them. I will promise you, God will attend to that correction. But young people, whether you're a child, a teenage boy, a teenage girl, nowhere in the scripture does it say that you are to correct your mom and dad. Says you're to do the right thing. You're to have the right attitude. And God will take care of that correction. Listen again to this verse from Proverbs chapter 19. It says, he that wasteth his father and chaseth away his mother is a son that causeth shame and bringeth reproach. Here it's not even talking to the parents. It's talking to the children. Saying, you behave and you do right. And if you look through the scripture, you could start in the book of Genesis and go all the way through the book of Revelation, and you're going to find out that God always gave the command of propriety to the follower first. He did that all the way through the Bible. And so he comes to those the children, and we're talking about children and teenagers, and he says to you, if mom and dad tend to have some rebellion about something in their life, or they do wrong, or they stumble, or they sin, you keep doing right, and you don't use their fall as an excuse for you to do right. And if they cuss at you, you don't cuss back. And if they lost their temper at you, you don't lose your temper back. You've got to learn to control that. You've got to keep all that in submission so you don't correct them. You say, well, what should I do, Pastor? Well, I would recommend that here's something you ought to do. You ought to spoil them. You ought to spoil them. Y'all ever heard someone say, don't spoil those kids. You're spoiling those kids. The exact opposite is true about parents. If you want to really help your parents, spoil them. Spoil them. It's children that get affected by spoiling. Not parents. You say, well, how do you spoil your parents? You tell them thank you, and you obey them, and you're good to them, and you help them. Spoil them. Just help them. Hey, let me advise this. If your parents ever run away, let them come back. Let them come back. You say, run away, Pastor? Run away? Parents run away? Oh, yeah. You may hear a parent say someday, I never want to see you again. Go in your room and never come out. Well, you'll be coming out, and they do want to see you again. But you got to realize they're frustrated at the moment. As you get older, teenagers, you may hear them say, I can't wait till you're 18. You say, oh, boy, Brother Owens, I've already heard that. Well, parents can get frustrated. It gets difficult. We're not perfect. We're human. But if they ever said, I never want to see you again, go in your room and never come out. Be willing to forgive, at least by supper time. You're going to want to come out of that room again. But every once in a while, a parent can lose it a little bit. You say, well, what do I do? Well, just accept their apology. Say, but they never apologized. They meant to. They meant to. But let them come back. Listen, young people, if you're ever at odds with your parents, be willing to fix it. You say, but why wasn't wrong? Be willing to fix it if you weren't wrong. The relationship's way too important. And sometimes people don't apologize, but I've had all sorts of people that haven't apologized to me, but I still love them, and I've got a good relationship with them. You say, why? Their apology was less important than my relationship with them. Hey, pray that your parents will be successful parents. Pray that. Some of you say, my mom or my dad, they're unbearable. Let me ask you, how much time have you spent praying for your parents to succeed as a parent? The Bible is very clear, scripture after scripture after scripture, about God answering prayer. And God does answer prayer. Praise your parents' good deeds. Hey, when they do good things, there's nothing wrong with you noticing it. Wouldn't hurt you to tell your mother, Mom, that was a good meal. Wouldn't hurt you to thank Dad for giving you a place to sleep. Gratitude. It'll help your relationship with your parents. That someday you need to walk your dad to the car when he's on his way to work. And go out and right before he gets in the car say, Dad, I realize that you're about to be gone for the next 8 or 10 hours to make sure that we have food on our table and air conditioning in our house. And Dad, I appreciate it. So if you want to have a good relationship with mom and dad, it's not your job to correct them. It's your job to be a good child or a good teenager. And you ought to just spoil your parents rotten. And you ought to make sure that you pray for them and that you praise their good deeds. Never stop loving your parents. Never stop loving your parents. I'm not saying that you have to appreciate their weaknesses. But I think you ought to appreciate them, and I think you ought to love them. Never stop loving them, ever. Young people, I wish I could figure out a way to help you to understand this, but your mom and dad could do everything right in raising you. But if you won't do right, they're going to feel like they failed. You know what? That's not fair. That's not fair. You do right. There's no perfect mom and dad. That does not exist. The only perfect one that ever walked the face of this earth was Jesus Christ, and they crucified him. There's no perfect mom. There's no perfect dad. By the way, there are no perfect sons, and there are no perfect daughters. But when we all live in a household, if everybody's misbehaving, you can do right. You can do the right thing, and you ought to do the right thing. Even if mom and dad tend, you say, well, they're not doing the right thing. I heard what the preacher said the other day, and he was preaching on this particular sin, and my dad's guilty. That's not your business. You got your hands full taking care of yourself, young people. You do the right thing. And I'm promising you, this will help your relationship with you and your mom and dad. Because I know what can happen. We can get an edge on us about, well, mom and dad, you're not doing this, and you're not doing that, or you're guilty of this, and you're guilty of that. It's okay if I have a bad attitude too. No, it's not. Your attitude is not to be based on what everybody else is doing. Your attitude is to be based on your relationship with Jesus Christ. That's where your attitude is supposed to be. Your parents need your help. Now, I started out and I read you this passage of Scripture. Let me read from Proverbs chapter 19 again, where it says, he that wasteth his father and chaseth away his mother is a son that causeth shame and bringeth reproach. Cease, my son, to hear the instruction that causeth to err from the words of knowledge. An ungodly witness scorneth judgment, and the mouth of the wicked devoureth iniquity. It even says, judgments are prepared for scorners and stripes for the back of fools. God is telling us, if we don't do right by our parents, then God will spank us and God will judge us. And let's do the right thing. You remember my son called me one day, and he said, Dad, he said, listen, he said, Mom's having a bit of a rough day. A little water on the laundry room floor. Things just haven't gone her way. She cried for no apparent reason, and she hates my piranha. Well, I got home, and my son gave his mom the flowers and the chips and the soft drink and everything. And we went on our merry way. And that night I asked my wife, I said, honey, I said, what in the world happened? And she said, today Jeff was cleaning his piranha tank. And he forgot to put the drain hose for the washer back in the drain basin. And we ended up with 60 gallons of water running through three rooms of our house. Now, Jeff had said a little water had splashed on the floor and Mom had cried for no apparent reason. And he couldn't figure out why she might have a problem with the piranha that day, because he was worried about his piranha while she was trying to salvage the whole house from a flood. You know, young people, is it possible that Mom might be struggling some and Dad might be struggling some because of you? You know, sometimes we look at mom and dad's attitude and we say, what's wrong? Why are they that way? Every once in a while, the children in the home are pretty big contributors to how mom and dad are reacting and responding. And parents, I'm not justifying misbehavior. But to every child here, I can remember times when I made my mom cry. She didn't deserve it. Now, I never made my dad cry, but he did make me cry. I remember one day my dad said, son, it's hurt me more than it hurts you. And I said, well, let's just spare us both a problem here then. No sense in you going through this misery, Dad. And that didn't turn out very well either. We got to work together. And young people, I think most of you, mom and dad, they're not rebellious and they're not out to do wrong, but they're going to make some mistakes and they're not perfect. Everybody needs to do what's right, no matter what everybody else is doing. That will make our relationships stronger. Don't let one temper turn into two, which can turn into three, which can turn into four. That's not how it ought to work. Somebody's got to do the right thing. And young people especially, you do good, you do right, you'll be better off. Your relationship with your parents will be better because of it. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Young people, let me ask you this question. Is it possible that maybe sometimes mom and dad get frustrated the way they do because of some of your behavior? I wonder how many times your parents have begged you to clean up your room. They can't get anything out of you. And you wonder why they get tense. I wonder how many times they have begged you to do right with your telephone. But you go ahead and do wrong. And then you wonder why dad gets upset. You wonder why they want to take it away from you. And you feel like you're being mistreated. When in all actuality, you're not doing right. You're not doing right. And they're at their wit's end. So look, if mom and dad aren't doing right, you do right. You do right. And it's not your job to correct them. Young people, who here among the young people, children, teenagers, would say, "Preacher, I've listened to what you said tonight. I want to do the right thing. I want to be a good Christian. And I want to behave right at home. And God has spoken to my heart about it." Would you raise your hand and let God see it? Sure. Lots of hands. And that's good. That's how it ought to be. You may put your hands down. Parents, let's just learn a lesson from it. Let's do the best that we can. Let's do right. And let's be careful. A lot of young eyes looking at us, watching us as we live at home. Father, take the lesson. Use it somehow to help us all be better Christians. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed, the pianist is going to begin to play at this time. Let's stand to our feet. If you need a moment at the altar, you come. The whole purpose of the sermon is to get young people to realize we're to do what's right no matter what. Do right. If mom or dad are not doing the right thing at the moment, you need to do the right thing. It's not your job to correct them. It's not your job to scold them. You do the right thing. Parents, make sure you do the right thing. I don't think my son was trying to be funny when he said mom cried for no apparent reason. I think it didn't make sense to him why she could be so upset about such a small thing in his eyes. Young people, sometimes your disobedience is far bigger than what you realize. Sometimes your disobedience, sometimes your misbehaviors, it scares mom and dad. They're worried about your future. They don't want to see those what you might consider small disobedience grow into big, terrible, destructive disobediences. So sometimes that's why they do get frustrated. One more time through the song, if you will, Mrs. Young.